Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Shmini, Mishnah Gimel. So we've been talking about, yesterday we were talking about the din of a Balkeri Minarabona. And even though we're mechayev him to do a tefillah, he can do a tefillah in a Sheuvi Mikveh. And that's why we bring up all of these things, because we started with our first Mishnah of talking about a mikveh that's made of mayim she'uvim, where you have to be chayshish that they're she'uvim, so it's good enough for a balkeri. So yesterday we discussed the question of how you can distinguish between in a urine stream about whether discoloration or thickness would be considered to probably be still semen that was mixed with the urine, and therefore he would be a balkeri. And we distinguish between the beginning of a urinary stream, the middle of a urinary stream, and so on. This Tana disagrees, and it holds that even if we're talking at the beginning of urination, that the first Tana that we had yesterday holds at the beginning, we always have to assume that it is urine. So he holds that it depends. Amatil tipim avot mitocha ama tame. Divrei Reb Elazar Chisma. Even if at the beginning he finds that there are these thick drops that are coming out of his penis, they are assumed to be shechvas zera. Again, only minarabonan, because it's very important to recall that if there is not a clear-cut orgasm, which is called shekogufo margishba, something that affects the entire body, then this is not considered to be an ejaculation that is metame. It's only going to be metame if it's involved in an actual orgasm. Nonetheless, Rabbonin were machmir, that it's considered to be a balkeri, legabe this dinim, that we're going to be machmir and also makelon to allow this men's mikvah. Now, there's another case that's also similar to this, where we don't have any clear-cut signs of what we know to be an orgasm. This is where somebody had a dream in which he actually did come to orgasmic ejaculation. He thought he did in the dream. So he dreams that he had been sleeping with this woman, as the Rav explains, and he wakes up to not find anything wet, but instead he finds himself completely turned on, matzah b'saro cham, after he has this dream, but he doesn't see that there was any ejaculate. But again, minarabonan, we're going to assume that if that was his dream, that probably there was some kind of shechvas zera that was maybe disappeared in his clothes before he woke up, and we have to assume that he is going to be tummy. Now remember that this din that we're talking about over here of being tame through ejaculation is a completely different din than the question of coming into contact with semen. That's two completely different halachas. Now, there's the same halacha that would be nogea us. Of course, this brings us directly to Kabbalah Satera. So at Kabbalah Satera, the Torah was very makbid that there should not be actual ejaculation, but there was rather 3 days before. So don't sleep with a woman. But that means that the Torah is makbid bichlal on the sugya of the tuma shechvas zera, which would mean that even a woman that somebody had slept with and now is perhaps leaking shechvas zera, the question is, how long is the sperm in that shechvas zera? How long is that sperm fertile? Because only fertile sperm is actually going to cause the tumor. Because remember, the whole idea of tumor are those things that are part of reproduction, and they were able to bring about life. And in a situation where they're not able to bring about life, or something that was alive and is now dead, all of those are the things that are metames. You could be talking about the tumas neveles, or the tumah vedet sheretz, or the tumas nida, where you have all of that which was meant to support a pregnancy, and now it's no longer being used to support a pregnancy, or the tumah of Leda, where the part that was part of life, which is the child, goes in one direction, and all of the supportive material goes in another, so to speak. Zayatzal chayim v'zayatzal misa. So the same thing is true about sperm. We have nothing against sperm if it is going to be turning into a child, and there's no tumor. But the moment that it could have been used for fertility, then it isn't, so then it already creeps into this dinim of tuma. So once it's no longer able to bring about a pregnancy, it's no longer going to be metame, because it's no longer sperm, it's just body fluid. And therefore, a woman who is poletet zera, yom ha-shlishi, this, of course, once you hear yom ha-shlishi, you realize that we're predicating this on the yom ha-shlishi in the Torah, which was before Moshe Rabbeinu was Mosif, that yom, extra yom, of shloshet yamim. So this is basically what we need to understand. When was that l'shloshet yamim, when was that said exactly? So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if it's the third day, so then that would mean, let's say this woman actually had her intercourse on Thursday, and then she leaks some of this zera on Shabbos, that's already the third day. And then she would be tahor, which would mean that it's a din in days and not a din in time. So it's not the question of then how many minutes, how many hours this semen was held inside of her. So therefore, it could be anything between 24 plus hours or 48 plus hours, right? So let's say that she had relations at Wednesday night, right after it became Thursday. So that was the 3 days then, begin at the beginning of Thursday, and then that means Shabbos begins after 48 hours almost, right? So it would be close to 48 hours. And sometimes it's less than 48 hours, because it could be only a little bit more than 24 hours. So it's either a little bit more than 24, all the way through to a little bit less than 48. And that would give us those 3 days, and we'll see that this is because the Torah actually gave this tzivui on a Thursday, not on a Wednesday. That's part of the whole analysis of what happens on the various days after Rosh Chodesh and the giving of Torah, which came on Shabbos, that the Gemara analyzes. So this is based on that, and it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Shita. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, actually, there were 3 days, because the mitzvah was given on the day before. And pa'amim shem arba onot, pa'amim shem chamesh onot, upa'amim shem sheish. Remember that an onah is a period of either day or night. So it's approximately 12 hours if we try to find an objective length of an hour. In the Torah, we don't have an objective length of an hour. We simply have a 12th of the period between sunrise, sunset, or the various shitot. And so it would work out, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that it would basically depend on the situation. So if the intercourse was on Yom Revi'i, so then the fourth day, including Yom Revi'i, would be Shabbos. And that would mean that she could go to the mikveh after anything that was leaking from her. And after that, if there's continued leaking on Shabbos, she would still be tahor, which means that the sperm would not be fertile, and they're no longer motile, and therefore we don't worry about that. So that would mean that if she actually had intercourse right before the end of Yom Revi'i, then there's only going to be a little bit more than 4 onot until Shabbos, right? That would be, in other words, the Wednesday night, which is the evening of Thursday, Thursday day, Thursday night, and the day of Erev Shabbos. But if the intercourse was at the beginning of Wednesday, so then it would have been 5 onot, you know. And if it was right at the beginning of the night of Wednesday, which was Tuesday night, it would be basically 6 onot. So these are obvious. We have to include that little bit of extra time that the day already began, in the same way that we did before. It's slightly less than 48 hours. It's slightly less than 6 onot. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says it is a function of the number of hours, and it's not a function of onot, and the way that he puts this is, it's always the equivalent of five onots, which are 60 hours, and I don't care where it is in the course of the day, it isn't a function of the day, and this is again, hayu nechonim l'shloshat yamim al tikshu el isha, so there's a shlosha yamim specifically, and we talk about the yom hashalishi, Rabbi, and that's the question, when was that said? So then, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that was said on Yom Chamishi, which gave us this year. He holds, Rabbi Shmuel, that it was given on Yom Revi'i. So the Shloshet Yamim were Thursday, and Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos. Mashenken, Rabbi Akiva holds that it was early on Yom Revi'i, so that the beginning was exactly at the onset of Yom Revi'i, and that would mean that after Erev Shabbos, when it was time to prepare for Kabbalah Satera, all of these women would then be able to go to the mikvah, and then any kind of leakage would be not metame, which is a raya that the sperm would no longer be fertile.